The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Say good morning to your neighbor to the left and to the right this morning. With a smile. Okay, so this morning we are looking at no small dreams. Hallelujah. No small dreams. And I mean, of course, some people will be smiling, some people, I mean, it can create mixed emotions, you know. But today we trust that God Himself will breathe upon us in the name of Jesus. He will speak to us Himself in the mighty name of Jesus. So the question, several questions this morning would pop up or would ask, and is that, have you had a dream before? Have you ever dreamt? Do you think you dream big? Do you think you are a big dreamer? What has happened to the dreams of your childhood? What has happened to the dreams of your of the past? And so those are questions. And when we say no small dreams, you know, some people wrestle with that because they're like, do I determine the size of my dream? I mean, why am I being told not to dream small? What if all I see is Keke Napep? You know, what if I don't see the biggest transportation system ever built or made or operated? Why? How is that my fault? And it's because of our concept of dreaming. We do not sometimes understand that we participate in what is released to us. And I'll explain a little bit, you know. We are participants in what we receive. In what we receive. Just for starters, we need to understand when we talk about dreams, what are we talking about? Is it that thing that happens when we close our eyes and we sleep, then we see pictures of things and movies of things, you know? What if you're saying, Pastor, but when I sleep, I never dream. I don't dream. There are people like that. And they don't have night dreams. So don't have a dream. So when we say dreams, or when we talk about no small dreams, the dream here is a mental picture of what could be and should be. A mental picture of what could be and should be, because it's not all the things that could be should be. And we need to streamline and clarify that. So what that mental picture, you can have the mental picture while you're awake. You can have the mental picture while you are asleep. You can have the mental picture while you're walking. You can have the mental picture. You can have the mental picture any time of the day. So that mental picture of a perfect future that could be and should be is the dream. Is the dream. So we did say that we are actually participants. We are participants. If you look at Joseph, you could see that even Joseph, before he had his dreams, he was you know, exercising some leadership traits. He was expanding his horizon. He was like second to the last born. He refused to be that little boy. He felt it was his responsibility to report the affairs of his brothers. He felt that how things run in this house is my business. He was positioning his heart, if you will, for what could be delivered. So, to him. So we have some people. What needs to be delivered to you can't, because we are not mentally positioned. For instance, do you know, if you keep hearing sermons, great sermons, over and over and over again, something happens to you. It's called faith. Faith is that always through which dreams are delivered. Says faith comes by hearing. If you keep reading, your mind is expanded. And it paves the way for the dream. And that's not even the focus of this morning. Just to explain to us that our positionings matter. Our positioning matter. So pastor, these big dreams, I've had dreams, but they don't come to pass. I'm going to give up. Is it possible that God brought you in here to hear this? That don't give up on your dreams, on your God-given dreams, on those things that could be and should be. Don't give up. Why? A few things. God calls us to big faith. God calls us to big faith. No small dreams. Again, say to that neighbor that you greeted, say to him, the neighbor you said good morning to, say to him, no small dreams. No small dreams. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians 3:20. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power at work in us. So to God, to him, that was the prayer. That is to whom this prayer is made. But it's revealing something about God. When you have a dream, you take to God, you pray. He's saying the God you are praying to, no matter how big your dreams are, is able to do much more. Wow. So think about what you consider the biggest dream you can have. The word of God is saying to you today, the God you serve is able to do immeasurably more than what you can ask or imagine. In other words, the mental picture of your imagination that could be and should be, that you think is so big, God will do immeasurably more than that for you in the name of Jesus. So dream big. Dream big. Why? Because you will never outdream God. You can never outdream God. There are a few things that you can never outdo God in. You can never outgive God. Keep giving. You can't outgive God. Keep dreaming. You can't outdream God. You can't. Where you think, oh, this, it will do much more than that for you. In the name of Jesus. Why? Luke 1:37 says to us that for nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible with God. So, keep on dreaming. Why? Because if you are only dreaming of things you can accomplish by yourself or your own, you are dreaming too small. If we look at the output of your life, and we are like, good job. Well, good job, but it's too small. Praise the Lord. When we look at the output of your life, and we say, you're smart, you're so smart, you can bring about this. Thank God for the gift of being smart. Thank God for the gift that God has given you. But what God is saying to you is that we should look at the output of your life and say, we know you are hardworking. We know you are smart. We know you are gifted. But thank God for you. Thank God for what He is doing in your life. That is what we are talking about. When God's power is involved, there are no limits. When God's power is involved, and many times when we are about our dream, we want to dream in line, and that's largely what I hear motivational speakers, you know, and it's probably a good start. Probably is better than nothing, rather. But because people dream in alignment with their giftings. But God is challenging you this morning to dream in alignment with His greatness and not your gifting. Dream in alignment with God's greatness and not in alignment with your giftings. We should dream in alignment with God's greatness, not in alignment with our gifting. So it means that no matter how gifted you are, don't let your gift that is a blessing be a cage. God will do immeasurably more that you can ever think or imagine. So the second thing here is that God's vision for you is bigger than you can see. And that is why we need to be aligned with God, because He can see beyond what you think you have seen. Jeremiah 29:11, He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans of good, of welfare. They are not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." So when God shows you the next step, trust that He has the whole pathway planned. You see, many times we are on a path and the hallway looks dark. But if you will trust God, you're like, "Pastor, I can only see 3 steps. Oh, all these people, they see big visions. I can only see 3 steps. But if you trust God and you take those 3 steps, by the time you are before you get to the end of the 3rd step, you have seen another 3 steps. By the time you take those steps, before you get to the end of you have seen another 3. Before you know it, you are at the end of the hallway. You are making significant progress. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says to us that what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human has conceived, the things God has planned and prepared for those who love Him. Hallelujah. So sometimes we only see the small steps before us, but God has the entire vision laid out. We have to trust Him. We have to trust Him. Hallelujah. So the thought here is that small dreams don't require surrender. Small dreams don't require sacrifice. Small dreams will not bring the best out of you. So small dreams don't require surrender. Big dreams do. Big dreams do. Proverbs 3:5 says to us, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now, think about it. The dreams you are pursuing, does it require you to trust God with all your heart and not lean on your understanding? Or do you cut your dreams down to your understanding? You see, many times that's the challenge. We shape our dreams to the level of our understanding. And you're like, oh, the word that has robbed a lot of people is, oh, be realistic. Have you heard that before? Be realistic. Dreamers are not realistic. Dreams are not realistic. At least as far as the particular dream is concerned. I'm not saying be an unrealistic person. I'm just saying that your dreams, you can't expect them to be realistic. Sometimes they are unrealistic, and many times. And if you look at what you're doing, it doesn't require you to trust God with all your heart. And it totally requires your understanding. You can lean on your understanding. It's time to get out of the boat and step on the water. Take Peter, for instance. He said to Jesus, if it is you, bid me to come. You can say, just stay in the boat, Peter. You'll be fine. But he needed to step on water to feel God's power for the impossible. You see, you cannot achieve this scripture dreaming small. Think about it. You can't achieve this scripture being a small dreamer. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Does your aspiration require trusting God with all your heart? Like MLK Jr. Said, that the greater the dream, the greater the need for trust. The greater the dreams, the greater the need for trust. Hallelujah. And that is so powerful. Why? Because small dreams can often be achieved with our own strength. Small dreams can often be achieved with our own strength. But God-sized dreams require surrender. Requires surrender. So when we lay that dream, what's the dream? The dream for the life of your life, the dream for your business, the dream for the ministry God has committed into your hands, the dream of whatever area. When you lay our dreams at His feet, we acknowledge that we are trusting Him to fulfill what we cannot do alone. And it is so important that you embrace the dream that is bigger than you. It is so important that you, no matter your role in a dream, and that's another thing, you know, we probably need to explain, what are your roles in the dream? You have a dream and it's big. Guess what? Many times you have a role in that dream. Other people too have a role in the dream. So there is no dream that is big enough that is God-sized and it is a solo dream. Dreams are participatory. A dream is like a team sport. And again, that's another dimension to it. But this morning, God is challenging you. So what are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is this. Number four, don't let fear shrink your dreams. Don't let fear shrink your vision. So we've talked about not shaping your dreams according to your understanding. Also, Don't shape your dreams according to your fears. Don't let your fear shrink your dreams. A lot of people's dreams have been shrunk to the size of their fear. Their dreams have been shrunk to the size of their fear. They have shrunk it to a manageable size where they are not afraid. So, Pastor, are you saying that I should dream afraid? I'm telling you, the bigger your dream, if your dream is really big, you will feel some fear. And I'm saying that it's okay. It's okay. Because God has not given you the spirit of bondage again to fear. You will overcome that fear. So your focus is to overcome the fear. It's not to avoid it. And it's not to regulate yourself to a place and your dreams to a place where you don't feel that fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." Of a sound mind. So, Pastor, on one hand, you're saying my dreams should require me to trust God completely, which can sometimes make me as a human being to be jittery a little bit, to be afraid. And are you saying it's normal? On the other hand, you say God has not given me the spirit of fear. Is that not contradictory? No, it isn't. The spirit of God in you has no room for fear. Your God-sized dream can make you afraid because of your own growth level, right? But regardless, like someone said, that if your dreams don't scare you, they are not big enough. If your dreams don't scare you, they are not big enough. Joshua 1:9, God encouraged Joshua. Joshua has entered into Moses' shoes to lead a nation. And God is encouraging Joshua and saying, "Be strong and courageous." Why would God say be strong? God needed to say that because Joshua at the time, probably his knees were shaking. The dream is big. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So fear will always try to convince you that your dreams are too big or too risky. But the Spirit of God in you isn't fearful. It's powerful. It's powerful. Hallelujah. So when fear threatens to reduce your dreams, remember that God's presence gives you strength. When fear threatens to trim your dreams, remember that God's Spirit gives you strength. God's presence gives you strength. Hallelujah. So don't let fear shrink your dream. Don't let fear shrink your dreams. In fact, for a lot of people, they've allowed other people's fears to beat their own dreams out of them. You know, people, misery always seeks company. Fearful people always seek company. Have you noticed? People always try to recruit other people into their fear. Don't join any stupid, don't form any stupid allegiance. People form theories based on their limitations. And they say to other people, "Oh, this is how far you can go. Oh, you can go thus far. You can go further." Don't embrace philosophies that are not rooted in the Word of God. They are usually formed out of people's limitations. And when somebody has hit a ceiling or they are limited, they tell you, "Let me tell you from experience. This thing, you know, years ago, I was going to take an exam. A series of exams. And those exams, about more than six of them, I can't even remember how many exams you have to take in a row to complete the whole certification. So, like, I should though, like, we encourage people to talk to people that have gone ahead of you, right? So I spoke to one of my mentors in the industry. You know, I have a whole teaching on mentors that you probably should get. And my mentor, very accomplished, you know, professional, looked at, I just finished from college, I think. I mean, yeah, at about that time, you know. I wanted to achieve. And he said, okay, yeah, that's a good dream, but you are not ready for it, you know. And in my mind, I'm like, why? How do you know I'm not ready, you know? Because it was like, oh, before I could do this kind of exam, I'd already had like 4 years or 5 years experience, you know, worked in this, worked in that, done that. Because those kind of exams, you know, I'm like, I barely have 1 year experience, but I want to do this thing. I can, you know. And he was like, no, you know what? My advice is take your time. You know, I can link you up with, you know, to get a job, you know, get relevant experience. That's fine. That's good. I would love that. But in my mind, I'm like, I want to do this thing. It's a dream, right? Ah. So, and each exam is expensive. Each one of those exams are expensive. So, for someone that's just starting out, maybe if I gather my whole salary, I will be able to do one if I put some other money join, you know. So I thanked him, but you know, I have these rumblings that do not conform, you know, I don't know. So I was like, no, I'm going to do this exam. I prepared for the exam. And I did it. And I failed it. It was catastrophic. You know, failed the exam. And I was like, wow. It was like a thunderbolt. I'm actually not used to failing exams, if you know what I'm saying. And it was a different experience. His words just kept echoing in my mind. And already I told you that, da, 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 you know? And I remember speaking to one of my brothers, and it was like, Femi, I know you. You won't give up until you finish this exam, but you can't afford it. I'm like, exactly. I did ask him for money. And he said to me, well, when you think you are ready, I can support you. I'm like, I'm ready. And he looked at me. I said, I'm ready to go back and take that. No, I mean, looking back, it sounds crazy. And he actually gave me the money for the first one. Now, I had a bigger burden. If it were my money, it was big enough. But now somebody else's money. Ah, the pressure. But because I will not allow fear to cut and shape and shrink the vision. If you are not willing to put in the work, you probably shouldn't take the advice of your mentor. If you're not willing to break barriers, you probably should in that case, in that time. But I believed God. I was afraid. I had all these things I'm teaching you. But I decided to step out. Put in the work. Boom! I passed the first one. Now, this exam, they're supposed to take them over how many years, 18 months or something. I told my brother the good news and we were happy together and all that. And I was like, tell me when you're ready for the second exam. I said, I'm ready. You know, I'm ready. Give me a few days, I'll be ready. Give me a week. A week, I think I did a week. I finished those exams about 6 to 8 weeks. All of them. Now, you could say that is excessive. That is too aggressive because I barely slept. You could say. But it was me refusing to allow fear that has been handed down to me prevent me from achieving a God-given dream. So in that period, you know, it's good to have good brothers, you know. He actually paid for all the exams. Everything. The point is this. There's so many learnings here. If I had allowed it, somebody else's fear to shrink the vision at the end of it. Number two, he believed in the vision. You see, that's the team part of vision. Nobody is man-made. Nobody is self. I'm a self-made millionaire. No, some people came along to help you. The same way he's sending a message to you that you should pay it back. You should come alongside people and help them. Where are people struggling? You have resources. Help them. Buy into that vision. There's no one that has a vision and is able to execute by himself. Take God's Favorite House. When we started, we could barely pay the rent of the hotel we started in. Yet, I stood up on a Sunday. I said, our vision is to be filled with the life of Christ Jesus and released into our destinies, taking the world for him. You could not pay rent. Well, we could, but you know, we're going from rent to rent in Lagos. Yet you want to take the world. It sounds ridiculous. You know, looking back at it, it sounds so ridiculous. But is God not fulfilling his vision? Is God not opening doors in places that we could have friends that says to me, how do you do these things? I'm like, I wish I knew. I wish I knew. We started a church in Colombia. Now there are two churches in Colombia. When Paraguay, the plan was to start one church, but then proceed to Argentina, there were two churches that started in Paraguay. Last month, we were in Argentina for another church. People that don't really speak English. So we needed interpreters. God made all those provisions. It is only God that can do the things that money cannot buy. If we do the things money can buy, if we do the things money cannot buy in your life in the name of Jesus, he is the only one. In a few hours or days, we are going to Costa Rica. Strengthening the church there, starting new ones. In next month, we're in Lagos, Nigeria. God will do it again, service. In January 2025, by the grace of God, is Jesus Tarries. We're in Panama. The people in Panama are hungry for what God is doing. It's only God that can do this. Did we have a time where we're afraid of? Of course you will. Because you don't even know how. It's beyond human understanding. But the God we serve is able to do what he says he will do. in your life. And again, to dovetail back into the story I was telling is that, can all these things happen with one person? It is impossible. It is impossible. God brought other people, gave them dreams in the dream. And it is, and I have a portion of mine in the dream. So you do too. We all do. Why is Lagos able to stand strong? You guys are doing amazingly well. Praise God. Glory be to God. Against all odds. Why? Because God is faithful. And the vision is not about one person. We have people whose dream is a part of that dream that God has given them. So, why right now as we speak, or today, in different time zones, we have GFH happening in Dallas, GFH happening in Canada, GFH happening in Costa Rica, GFH happening in Colombia, GFH happening in Argentina, GFH happening all over. Why? Because it's a team dream. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, number five, finally, God's dream for you blesses others, not just you. God's dream for you blesses others, not just you. Remember what we say. No small dreams. No small dreams. One, two, we also say, no tree eats its own fruit. No tree eats its own fruit. The fruit of the tree exists for the benefit of others and for the propagation of the tree's assignment, which is to replicate itself. So the fruit of your life, of your dreams, is not for you alone. It's not for you alone. It's for others. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. You are the light of the world. So dreams that only serve yourself are too small for the kingdom. Are too small. Matthew 5:16 of the Matthew 5. It says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Your light will shine before others in the name of Jesus. Not only will your light shine, men will see. It will shine in a way that it will be undeniable. Men will see what God is doing in you, through you, for you, on your behalf. And then glorify your Father in heaven in the name of Jesus. God will let your light go beyond you. In fact, for some of you, you don't know yet. Your light is going beyond you already. Take GFH. We have HQ, right? Your light, all those nations I'm mentioning, your light is going beyond you. Your giving is going beyond you. The fruit of the kingdom is benefiting nations. And you should be proud of it. Regardless of what's going on around you, you should be grateful to God and you should be proud of it. Because God's vision for your life isn't only about you, it's about others. So dreams that impact others for better, they align with God's heart and His kingdom. if your dream only benefits you, that's what I'm saying. It's time to dream bigger. It's time to dream bigger. It's time to dream bigger. Because a God-sized dream will bless those around you and draw others to Him, shining His light through your life. So everything that has attempted to hinder that light of your life and your destiny is taken away now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That the God of heaven, the maker of the heaven and the earth, will fill you with His presence in the mighty name of Jesus. That the God of the heavens and the earth will fill you with His victory in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That God's presence will bring the visions He's put in your heart to fruition in the mighty name of Jesus. We would like to close by giving you an opportunity to surrender your life to the dream giver, dream maker, the God of heaven and earth. You are saying, Pastor, pray with me. We want to pray with you. If you are here, you are saying, I want to start a relationship with Jesus. You want to begin your relationship with Him. Or you say, I used to be with Him. I'm way far away right now. Can I come back, Pastor? Yes, you can. I want to pray with you, my brother. I want to pray with you, my sister. The RP will be taken up from there.
You know you want to give your life to Christ. You want to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. You want to accept Him into your life. You want Him to... He is a dream giver. You want Him to give you a dream, a new dream, to drive you for purpose, to drive you for a new phase of your life. First step to do is to accept Him into your life. I want to pray with you because this journey, as you have heard today, you can't do it alone. You need people to help you. We're here to help you, to pray with you. And we're excited, we want to do that. But you have to make that decision. Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful. We thank you for this privilege, the opportunity to come before you, to hear your word. Thank you because you are the dream giver. We appreciate you for every time you nudge us, every time you put a thought, a dream in our hearts. We are grateful because you mean well for us. Your thoughts towards us are thoughts of good and not of evil. That which will take us to an expected end. Father, for this we say thank you. We are grateful. With every word that we have heard today, my Father, my King, let it land on fertile grounds. Let it stir up something new within us. Every small, tiny dream, let it begin to grow right now to dreams that will cause us to be afraid. Dreams that will cause us to know that only you can make this to happen. And we'll be able to pursue these dreams in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Thank you for your Son, Almighty Father. We bless your name. Give you praise and glory, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord.